Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, February 10th, 2022. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on the last page of the chapter, A Vision for You. Looking at paragraph 3, we're going to read the second part today. It reads, admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Linda B., the 12 traditions, Lorraine N., reading the steps today, reading the text today and of support for the rest of the meeting, we're going to be seeing Eileen M., Stephanie L., Jody E., listen for the newcomer greeter, Sharon W., and at the very end of this meeting, we're going to get some announcements from Betsy H. The share ID numbers for these meetings, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, Big Book Study meeting, that would be Wednesday, February 9th, 2022, is 18527, 18527. And then today, this morning, we had a session already at the 7 a.m. hour, Thursday, February 10th, 2022. Share ID is 18530, 18530. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals, strength and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behavior recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Melanie, for your service. I am Linda B., a compulsive overeater from Ontario, Canada. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for this opportunity to be of service, and I will pass.
Thank you, Linda B. Linda B. is from Canada. I will now ask Lorraine N. to read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, everyone. Lorraine N., compulsive eater in Oregon. The 12 Traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to read. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Lorraine N. from Oregon. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Please only use the star 1 key function only for this purpose. It makes for a great recording later on. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the last paragraph of the chapter, A Vision for You, paragraph 3, and we are going to study this. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. We're going to be unpacking that single sentence only. And what I'd like to do now is invite Eileen M. to read that sentence and share what her experience is with that in recovery. Hi, Eileen.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., recovered compulsive overeater in Lebanon, New Hampshire. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Boy, that's got a lot in it. So the first word, admit, I want to look at that. The word admit means to acknowledge to be true. So that's basically, to me, I read that as the fifth step, where it says admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. So first, in order to do that, I have to discover what the faults are. And, you know, Bill Wilson in the Big Book tells us that we have to find the flaws in our makeup. And, you know, for me, to do an inventory, you know, to find those flaws, is that I basically had to make a list of the things that make my life unmanageable. And Chapter 5 and How It Works tells us pretty much exactly how to go about this. And, you know, it was suggested to me at one point in my, you know, my work was that if I thought I didn't have any resentments, was just to look at what things and who in my life annoys me. And I'm talking about, like, annoyances that I would feel over and over, because that's what resentment means. It means to re-feel over and over. So, you know, we're all human. We all get annoyed. But, if we never think about that annoyance again, that's not really a resentment. And that's what I was told. So, really, why are we doing this? And the purpose is to, you know, in the Big Book says that we're trying to get a new relationship with our Creator. And we have to discover what is in the way. And you know, I was told when I started doing this that I was blocked from a higher power. And that's why I couldn't, you know, I couldn't stop my addiction. You know, I was struggling with my addiction because I was blocked. And, you know, I believed in a higher power, but I just wasn't able to access that higher power because of these things that were in the way. And, you know, I was also told that if I was having a problem with this step was to go back to step two or, you know, go to earlier steps because it was probably a step two problem. And, you know, what is step two is we make a decision about higher power. And, you know, step two, according to the big book, is the cornerstone of the steps. So, I mean, you know, we need to have that pretty much down before we can go to the, you know, go to remaining steps. So that has been my experience, and I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Eileen M. Appreciate that. From New Hampshire. I'd like to open the lines now for additional comments on that sentence on page 164. Look down at paragraph 3, sentence 2. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. We're going to share on that paragraph alone today our experience. If I could get your first name, the first initial of your last name, and your state, I could take really, really
Lorraine E.
everyone's experience. We ask that you limit your share to every third day, in order that others might have an opportunity to share too. So be sure and be mindful and respectful of that third day, please, and for others to share. And did I hear an Eileen? Is that what I heard? Or who did I hear?
Lorraine E.
Annette M. Lorraine E. And Annette.
Elizabeth K.
Okay. Elizabeth. Okay. With that silence, I'm going to go ahead and get it started then because of time. Lorraine, Annette, and Elizabeth. You're up first, Lorraine, so get ready, Annette. Star one, Lorraine.
Sorry about that. Yeah, thank you for your service and thanks for the reading. I needed to hear this morning. What I really hear is my 10th step. Because for me, my 10th step is every single day. I have to admit those things that I don't want to admit. I have to look at my defects, and I don't like doing that. It's uncomfortable. It really puts my ego in check. But more than anything, I have to keep surrendering each day. My disease hates that. And that's why it's so crucial, like, you know, someone previous shared. If I'm, you know, I have a list of things. If I'm uncomfortable, if I am irritable, there's a defect coming up. If I'm just not at peace, there's a defect. There's something I'm just not being honest about with my higher power, with my sponsor, with myself, with this program. And without that 10th step to be able to keep that in check, that honesty, I just couldn't stay recovered. There's no way. There's no way I could hold on to these defects and not go back to the food. Not, you know, because for me, I always say my defects, the dishonesty is just as addictive as the food itself. So if I didn't have these daily steps and daily step work, I couldn't stay recovered. So luckily I did find that solution and I do have that new way, you know, and some mornings I'd wake up and I do a 10th step. So it's right before I go to bed, I go, oh my gosh, I got to do a 10th step. It's not always perfect, but I do my best to, and if I'm not feeling right, and if I ever start to, you know, look at the food or even think about food, I know that there's dishonesty there. There's something, it's not about the food. There's something deeply dishonest going on, and I've got to give that up. I got to surrender that. So with that, I'll pass. My name's Lorraine E., and I'm in Washington State. Thanks for your service.
Thank you very much, Lorraine E. from Washington. Annette M., you're up next from Canada.
Hi, this is Annette M. from Toronto, Canada. And I'm one of those people who has done the steps perfectly imperfect. What that means is that, you know, higher power has brought me to this moment of honesty, of absolute surrender. And Because my broken thinking is what brought me into this program, and I cannot think my way out of it, and I cannot have my defects. I'm powerless over my defects, and I know that the only thing I have to do is take the next right action, and that's going to God. And the only person that can unblock me from my insane thinking is God. And as long as I keep unblocking myself and being honest and giving away my 10th step and reconnecting with my higher power all through the day. And for me, that means, you know, jotting a note when I feel irritability, because by the end of the day, I forget. And I just forget. And I have a high tolerance, you know. Over so many years, I've developed this great tolerance for irritability. So I need to write it down, and I need to make note of it, and then bring it up to my 10-step buddy. And that's what I need, a way to clear away the wreckage and to keep connected all through the day. And with that, I pass, and I welcome any outreach calls or fellowship connections. Thank you.
Thank you, Annette M. from Toronto, Canada. Next up will be Elizabeth K. from Massachusetts, but I wanted to let you know in 3 minutes the lines are going to be open for additional opportunity for others to comment on that sentence, which is sentence 2, paragraph 3 on page 164, so get ready. Hi, Elizabeth. Your 3 minutes are now.
Good morning, Elizabeth Kay from Massachusetts, recovering compulsive overeating. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. And I'm still fairly new to recovery and the steps, but in doing my 10th step, which I do very imperfectly, and I'm only a few weeks into it, I just see the freedom in being able to admit my faults first, that that God takes the time to show them to me gently, and that I can admit to them, and then being able to humble myself and be able to admit those defects and faults to others has been so freeing. Hard to do at first, but so glad for the results that I can just let these things go and not have to continue to swirl them around in my head over and over again. So I'm just thankful for this line. Thank you for letting me share, Elizabeth in Massachusetts.
Thank you, Elizabeth K. in Massachusetts. The lines are now open for additional comment. 2, paragraph 3,
Arlene,
admit your faults to him and to your fellows, and then give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and your state. That would be good. I did hear somebody come on.
Arlene B.
Arlene B. And Cynthia C. Mm-hmm. Who else this morning? Okay, Arlene, you're up for 3, and then we'll have Cynthia.
Thank you.
Out.
Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear. I'll let you know, though. You just come in swinging.
All right. Thank you. Arlene, I'm Arlene B. from Los Angeles, California. And, you know, this sentence makes me think also about the 10th step. I never really did a lot of true 10th steps. I would say how I felt, et cetera. But I had a couple of experiences just most recently. One was where I was angry at somebody who I'm really close with. And we were under stress because my husband's in the hospital and et cetera. So I called another fellow and I did the 10th step. You know, another fellow of mine said, I do it. She said, it's a lifesaver. And she sent me the other stuff, all the stuff over again to do like a traditional 4th step or 10th step. And I actually called somebody and I just did it right over the phone. And I went through the whole process. And in the end, it's like, it was my dishonesty that I didn't say what I needed. And that's why I was angry. And then I just did one yesterday where I was at a meeting and I got off feeling irritated about something, and I did another 10th step. And, you know, it was about, I felt like I was being criticized. I want to be right. I want to be heard. And, you know, it's taken me a long time to understand the the benefit of it. Like my sponsor says, it doesn't mean that the feeling just immediately goes away, although in these cases, thank goodness it did. But some of the long-term ones, you know, that I've had, the hurts, the resentments, I really see the benefit of all of this when I speak to somebody who's not on program. And I start to say, well, things like, you know, what do you think it bothers you? Or can you pray for that person? And, you know, it's like I'm talking a different language. And it's taken me a long time to see it, but I really, really see the benefit of all of that because I go deep within me. And there's benefit to other kinds of recovery outside of program, very much so. But it's very different than this particular kind of recovery. So, you know, I thank you. And, you know, I know that I have to remember that no matter what I feel, it has nothing to do with my food. And I have to do everything I can to stay in recovery. So thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Arlene B. from California. Next up is Cynthia C. from Massachusetts. Get prepared. 3 minutes.
Thank you so much, Melanie. This is Cynthia C., normally from Newton, Massachusetts, and today in Puerto Rico. And I cannot begin to tell you how grateful I am to be on the line today and hear everyone. And this is just a perfect topic for me. I came with a plan of getting on a meeting every day, having time to do my 11th step every day and staying in spiritual condition. We're here celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary a little early. And, you know, I'm learning that I don't know how to necessarily make that balance between finding, like, being at home, I can do it, but being away on vacation with my husband and finding that balance between, you know, taking care of my recovery that I desperately need because my disease is super strong. I am a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety, you know, and making time for my husband. Like, it's like, this is new. This is a really new thing that I'm learning in recovery. And hadn't been on meetings, and I kind of feel like I'm so relaxed. I don't need to do my full 11 step. And you know what happens when I don't do that? We went out for dinner last night, and this was going to be our celebratory dinner, and we had a big fight. We had a big fight in this gorgeous restaurant. We had a big fight, you know, and I really sat there thinking this is all his fault. Like, he said things that were hurtful. And, you know, the fact is, my wonderful, wonderful husband has made beautiful, phenomenal vacation possible, and I'm sitting there blaming him. And, you know, we need to take a break after dinner, and I was so grateful that I was able to reach to another recovered son in program and do a 10th step. And I could see my fault. I could admit my fault to God. Like, I've done some 10 steps. I've given 10 steps to God. I've been doing my 11th step at night, my 11th step inventory at night, but really, like, not doing my full 11th step in the morning. And I was able to see that I was trying to make my husband into my higher power, you know? I was feeling needy. I was feeling emotionally needy, and I wanted him to fill my emotional and spiritual cup, as in, you know, shopping for eggs at the hardware store. And so grateful that I could let go and I could surrender and I could admit what I was doing wrong, and I could admit it to God, I could admit it to my, you know, sister in recovery, and I was able to come back up to our hotel room and admit it to my husband and let it go. And, you know, we just both agreed that we were going to start off today differently. And so no matter where I go, like, we've never done a vacation like this before, so this vacation is literally a miracle of recovery. It literally is. So for anybody new, I would have never thought that we could do a vacation like this financially, emotionally. You know, I didn't think I could show up and be present. And miracles happen. Miracles happen when you let go. Thank you so much, Melanie. Thank you, everybody. I'm so looking forward to hearing everybody else. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cynthia C. from Massachusetts. The lines are open for additional comments on sentence 2, paragraph 3 book. Although we do really respect everyone's experience here, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others might be able to share their experience as well. We want to hear from a variety of voices. If you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and your state, I could take another lineup.
Vega Z.
Margo.
Margo.
Jody E.
Jody E.
Leslie W.
Rachel P.
Rachel P. Good lineup. That sounds great. Thanks so much. We have Jake
Ann
Z, Margo B, Joe. I'm sorry, Ann, is that what you said?
Ann R.
Got it. Thanks so much. Okay, let's go with this lineup. Vega Z, Margot B, Jody E, Leslie W, Rachel P, and Ann R. Good morning, Vega. You're up for three.
Hi, good morning. It's Vega Z from Ohio. So I've been more than one fourth step, and I see, like, as time goes on, as I'm recognizing when my feelings when people have done wrong to me, it's been a shift, because when I used to do four steps or 10, like kind of getting into 10 steps, I never really got to that point. But doing my fourth step, it used to be all about looking at what the other person did to me. And kind of like almost getting excited, and it was pretty much like another venting session. And I didn't feel good after a fourth step. And I realized that the whole point of the fourth step is really has to shift to my part. And sometimes it's hard to see that because the other person really did something wrong to me and really did something that will, you know, that hurt me. And it's hard to shift that over to see my part in it. Sometimes my part in it is just like letting go of what my expectations are, you know, or seeing that God's the one running the show here, not me. So it's interesting to see, like, over time, like, that shift of, this is not about the other person at all. It's about me. Because if I'm focusing on that, it's not going to do anything for me. If I'm focusing on what they've done to me. So this is all about admitting my faults, not admitting, you know, getting into a whole venting session. Okay. Thanks for letting me share. Pass.
Thank you, Vega Z. Appreciate that from Ohio. Next up, Margo B. from New York.
Hi.
You're up, and then who will follow you? It'll be Jody from California. Hi, Margo.
Hi, thank you. Hi, my name is Margo, compulsive overeater. Great to be able to claim my seat. Thank you, everyone, for the service and the comments around the room. I guess what's coming up for me is I've done many, many fourth steps and different programs, and including this program. And of late, I've done another fourth step on a particular person, and, I don't know, just another layer of the onion. And really recognizing the connection between the fear, the delusion, my selfishness, and the self-seeking behavior. And I find it so shocking. I don't know why, but I do. And how I can continue to fall into the traps. I don't mean in an arrogant way. I guess it goes back to knowledge fails is nothing, but fall back into the trap of these self-seeking behaviors of, like, irritability, self-pity, victim mentality, passive aggression, you know, the whole slew on said judgmentalness, harshness, criticalness, because of what I think about myself or how I feel about myself or the fear surrounding, you know, what I, you know, everything I may, losing what I think, you know, losing what I have or not getting what I want. Like, it all seemed to just kind of click around this fourth step, and just really of trying to observe without judging so that I can go and keep going and asking forgiveness so that I can go and do the corrective measures. And I just find it how easily in the moment I just get sucked in to all the defects of character and self-seeking behavior. And it breaks my heart because now it's no longer just about me. It's about the pain and the suffering and that tornado, you know, that I create. And it's not like I wake up and say, oh, let me create a tornado. No, it's just like, just really, I'm just very grateful to God that I'm able to not only do my fourth step this round, but really experience it on another level. And I can keep moving forward using the meeting as a tool to get strength to God, you know, go to God, get clear house, so I can be of service and not mull into the self-pity. So thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Margo B. from New York. Next up, Jody E. from California, and then Leslie W. will follow you.
Thank you, Melanie. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California.
So this, the principle that comes to mind with this sentence for me is humility. Am I humbled enough by my disease? Have I surrendered? Can I look for my faults and not be afraid to admit them? It's a psychic change that goes, that takes me from blaming others to honestly looking at myself. I remember before I first came to OA, I had a tremendous fear of seeing my own faults. I think I was afraid that if I saw my faults, it would mean that I was hopelessly flawed and that I was a bad person and there was no hope of changing because I didn't know how to change. I had no clue. And when I first saw the 12 steps, I knew intuitively that this was my solution. I knew that I needed guidance. I knew I needed some kind of plan, some kind of blueprint for progress. And that's exactly what they have proved to be. At my lowest point, I'm able to look at myself. It doesn't matter what other people have done. That's not my business. That's for them to look at and to change. The only person I can change is myself. So this 12-step way of life enables me to detach from other people, to take a good look at myself, an honest look at myself, without fear, because I've turned my will and my life over to the care of a loving higher power, and to not be afraid of what I'm going to find. And the good news is that what I find is that I'm a human being, no better and no less than anybody else. I'm a child of God, and through humility, I can change for the better. Bless them, change me. Thank you all for your service, and I pass.
Thank you, Jody E. from California. Next up is Leslie W. 3 minutes.
Hey, thank you, Melanie, for your service today. My name is Leslie W., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Admit your fault to him and to your fellows. You know, I think for me, growing up, I don't really remember hearing people apologize, especially not adults. And especially not to children. Now, the adults wanted the children to apologize to each other. You know, oh, did you bite your sister? Okay, we'll say you're sorry, whatever. But, you know, I look at this and I see that I'm not only supposed to admit my fault, but, and you know, I'm not only supposed to admit when I'm wrong with my fellows, but also to my kids. And I don't know, that's just something that just stuck out to me this morning because that was just not modeled for me. And also to my husband. I think that I believe that apologizing was a sign of weakness. And I'm supposed to be perfect. I'm not supposed to have flaws. So therefore, I'm not going to apologize. Or if I do something wrong, I'm going to pretend like I didn't do anything wrong and just keep on rolling and just expect you to just deal or get over it. And that's how I used to live my life. And which is why I couldn't handle any critique or criticism. I was so, so thin-skinned. Because if you saw something in me and you pointed out something in me that I didn't like or that went against my image of myself, then all of a sudden I would crumble. So I think for me, part of, you know, a big part of recovery that this sentence talks about is being able to have the courage and the humility to say, honey, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I messed up. Will you please forgive me? Or, you know, 12-year-old, I'm sorry for teasing you in front of your friends. I'm not going to do that again. And so, you know, I apologize all the time now. I mess up and I say I'm sorry all the time because it keeps me honest and it also really helps my relationships when I can be vulnerable like that, you know, with people.
Okay.
And so that's all I wanted to share. Thanks, Melanie.
Thank you very much, Leslie W. from Tennessee. Next up is Rachel P., and then Ann R. will follow Rachel. Good morning, Rachel. Star one.
Good morning. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. I looked up the definition of fault, an unattractive or unsatisfactory feature, especially in a piece of work or a person's character. And my interpretation is kind of use the term fault here interchangeably with defects of character. And, you know, in working the steps is where where I start to understand what my defects of character might be. Like in step four, I start to see the patterns that, you know, in all these resentments, all these fears that I have, these are the patterns that are continually coming up. And then in step six and seven, I clearly identify, okay, these are my defects of character. You know, for me, some examples of the big ones were, you know, constantly seeking validation from others, being overly generous with others, isolating myself from others. You know, and then step nine, I make it right with others. And in where for me, a huge part of the work is in step 10 and 12, because, you know, the purpose of these steps is not to clear this out and then that these faults, these defects never arise again. The purpose of the ongoing work of steps 10 and 12 is to be able to recognize them when, not if, but when they come up and work with that. You know, pre-recovery, you know, the personality change affected as a result of these steps, I was just constantly in like self-hatred and shame mode that anytime I had a fault, you know, identified, whether by myself or another, you know, the shame monster would take over and I would tell myself I'm bad, I'm wrong, I shouldn't be this way, I shouldn't. And these steps teach me I can enlist the help of, most importantly, God, but also other people to work with these things that maybe I want to change in myself, these things that are keeping me from having a relationship with God, which is what, you know, these steps are all about. And I just want to highlight that piece about, you know, sharing with fellows, because left to my own devices, I can't fix these things. And maybe the goal isn't even to fix them, but I can't morph these things. I can't change. I tried that, you know, in my disease to try to fix everything on my own. And I need you guys. I need my sponsor. I need my God squad. I need, you know, the people walking with me on this path on the broad highway so that I can humble myself and not have to do this alone. I can't fix my broken thinking with my own broken thinking. I can't fix my broken behavior with, you know, with more of the same behavior. So I need you guys. We need each other. And I'm so grateful for this way of living because it's a way of life that, thank you, that allows us to be free. Thanks, I'll pass.
Thank you very much. That's Rachel. Next up is Ann R. from California, and then looks like time will allow for two additional shares on that sentence. It's the second sentence, page 164 on paragraph 30. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. But for now, we'll listen to Ann R., please, star one, for your 3 minutes.
Hi, good morning, everybody. My name is Ann R. I'm a compulsive overeater in California. Very grateful for everyone who's on this line and makes this meeting possible. You are the people that understand what I'm going through. And the admit yourself, admit my faults to God and to my fellows has been something that I'm not good at. However, today, which is the only day that I get to live, I'm willing to do that. I have been very not well lately and have been in prayer a lot about reaching out to the higher power that I struggle with. I don't know, I go back and forth. Trust is a real challenge with me, and acknowledging that I have made food and consumption and toxic, poisonous, alcoholic foods my God over my life has been a real stripping away of coping skills. And so I get to moments where I don't know who I am. And so I go into the prayer. I go into the prayer. And I had an outreach call come to me yesterday morning that was more than profound. It definitely was the door of the heavenlies opening up and the higher power letting me know that I am being heard, and that I am loved, and that I am accepted. And this amazing conversation happened, and this woman was able to put into words in this 10th step what I was feeling and the struggles that I was going through. And we journeyed through it together. We were able to, I was able to be more healthier and a wee bit happier on the other side of the call. So I just wanted to say that I'm grateful for this meeting that I can go to. You are my people. You do understand. I could appreciate some more outreach calls. I can also plan to get some phone numbers and so I can make the outreach calls. My disease is not only cunning, baffling, and powerful, but it is destructive and shaming. And so when I admit that I can't do this, God can, whatever that is, I think I'll let it. Then people speak to me in a way that touches my soul and gives me the courage for the next right move. It sounds like I know a lot. I know nothing today. I'm fully surrendered. And thank you. Appreciate everyone that's here sharing with each other. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you, Ann R. from California. The lines are open for two additional shares before we wrap up the recorded portion of our meeting. If you'd like to share, I'd like to take your name.
Patricia H. from North Carolina.
Hi, Patricia. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Go ahead, Patricia.
Debbie V.
We'll see what's next.
Oh.
Gotcha, Debbie V. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Patricia. Mm-hmm.
Good morning. This is Patricia, recovering food addict from North Carolina. When I thought about this sentence about admitting my faults to God and another person, another fellow, it came back to my mind some time ago. I was participating in gossip about someone, and I was just so convicted by it that I had to go to that individual that we had gossip about and admitted that I had participated in the gossip and that I was sorry. And it was so humbling that I had to do that after, you know, because so often I would think, well, I've admitted it to God, I've asked him for forgiveness, so I'm okay. But in that particular instance, I had to do that. And so not only did that experience humble me, but it also makes me think about when there are others that are gossiping about someone, that I try my best to avoid the conversation or change the conversation or some way get out of talking, or I just get quiet and let them talk if I can't get out of the call. But also, I'm good at judging others when I'm talking to people on the phone or maybe in person or seeing how they are acting or reacting to something. I'm good at just judging them about how wrong they are and where they need to change. And that's something that I've had to admit to God and to another person. And it does humble me. It makes me humble. It makes me more compassionate, and it brings me closer to my higher power, who I choose to call God. And it really blesses me that because when I am in stuck in a situation where I'm uncomfortable because I don't want that defect anymore to be strong in my life, I will, you know, and I avoid it, or I'll have a way of just saying, you know, I really don't want to participate. I may not know that person or whatever. I don't know what her situation is, you know, why they did the things they did, but I really don't want to sit here and judge her. And it really changes my life. It makes there are often times when I get that awareness that God is pleased with me and that I feel his closeness because I've done the right thing. So I think that's all this is about, not only making sure we're getting things right in our hearts and stuff, but it also changes us and it helps us. And it helps me in my recovery that I'm not, you know, I have a closer relationship and, you know, my spiritual awareness is better. So I thank you for allowing me to share. This is Patricia from North Carolina.
Thank you, Patricia H. from North Carolina. Hey, WB, you're up. We have 2 minutes for you if you can.
Thank you so much.
And we'll close out the recorded portion of the meeting. Hey, yeah, hi, Debbie.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you, everyone. Debbie V., gratefully recovering in Virginia and going through the process for the first time, envision this steps, this simple toolkit. And what was uncovered was amazing. These two things came up, and I could feel the weight lifted, and I know that my spirit was blocked. The spirit was blocked as I'm now moving through and writing letters to those who I have harmed. The biggest thing I learned this time around was from my fellows, especially when I was writing my inventory. One fellow, the outreach calls have been gifts from higher power. Thank you, everyone. One fellow said to me, because I had a lot of shame about these two things that came up that were buried and never had words, were never given words. They were only thoughts and concealed with a lot of shame. She said, on the top of my page, I wrote, God loves me. And then on the bottom, after the inventory of the columns, I put, God still loves me. And that's what I did. And that was really, really helpful. My sponsor was really, really helpful as a guide and an example. And now the work is to actually forgive myself, but yet understand that I am recovering. I will be recovered when I will be. I can't wait to say I'm recovered. I am in recovery. Thank you, and just so grateful. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Debbie G. was the last share for the recorded portion of this meeting. We'd like to close it out here with having Stephanie L. please read from page 164. A book is meant to be suggestive only, but don't go away. We have about 10 more minutes of unrecorded meeting left, and you don't want to miss it. Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Stephanie L., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Okay.